B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Before this season even started, Ben Simmons' jumper was a lot of talk throughout the offseason, the posting of videos on social media of him working on that out in Los Angeles. And one of the people to really push the envelope was our good friend, Mr. Jack McCaffrey. Now, this is the back and forth. We have the audio back on October 3rd, I believe it was, of Jack and Ben going back and forth a little bit on that jumper. Here it is.
Yeah, I've had shots.
I'm an all-star. So, ladies and gentlemen, that Bulldog reporter, that investigative reporter, Jack McCaffrey, the Delco Times, on the line with us right now. Jack, how are you, sir?
Okay, Mark.
Great to have you on, man. It's been a while since we spoke. I'm thinking of you, and I've been thinking of you all season long, because I think the greatest motivation to Ben Simmons would be not making an all-star team, as he more or less kind of bragged to you when you pressed him on whether or not he'd shoot in a game.
It means a lot to him. He's very proud of being an all-star. Seems to be more proud of that than actually becoming the player he could be. He really goes back to well before that. He went, what did he take, one at LSU, maybe two, and then refused to basically campaign to not play in the NIT. This is a guy that's strictly about himself. It always has been. And he might be able to win with a guy like that. I doubt it long term.
So, like, is it a matter of self-motivation, or is it a matter of a head coach not getting to him?
It'd be interesting to see if some other head coach could get to him. My answer would be no. He would no other coach would get to him, because he wants to prove that and there's a value to this. In his mind, he's the greatest player to ever walk the face of the earth. And you cannot tell him otherwise. That's what he is. And he's going to do it his way, and he's going to continue to do it his way. He did it his way in college. He's done it his way since he's been with the Sixers. When Brett Brown came out and said, I want him to take one three-pointer a game, he hasn't taken one since. That's not a coincidence. That's a message to the coach that I'll do it my way.
Absolutely. And you're the second reporter this week to highlight how he marches to the beat of his own drum. Keith Pompey of the Inquirer also said that. And I'm with both of you. I'm with you. And you guys are around it more than I am. This seems like a guy that only relies on self-motivation. And to not have that one basic aspect of the game, at least get to a 10-foot jump shot, is just, it's unbelievable to me. And then the other part of it is improving the foul shot as well. You've seen him work on it. You've seen him pregame work on it. You've seen him in practice work on it in the rare occasion the NBA team practices this time of year. But it's just, it's an easy part of the game that he seems to just have a mental block for.
You saw a little bit of improvement towards the end of last year on his foul shooting. So it's there. But if I'm coaching against him in the fourth quarter, I'm putting him on the line. He just can't make a free throw. It's brutal.
Jack, have you noticed any different ways that the team has handled him as far as, practices? We hear what Brett said publicly about him shooting, but are they getting more frustrated with him? Have you noticed anything different that they're trying to get him to think about it more, or maybe pulling away and not bringing it up to him at all?
Sure. You noticed it must have been three or four games ago where it was brought up to Brett Brown before the game. You might have been there, Bob, and somebody said, it's been 15 games, 20 games since you said take one three-pointer a game, and he hasn't done it since. And paraphrasing Brett here, he said something to the effect of, well, yeah, I guess I failed at that. And he almost kind of laughed out loud. It was out. You asked me what I saw. What I saw in that exchange was the head coach saying, forget about it, I'm done with this. And
Wow. He's
done about as much as he can to motivate this guy to take a three-pointer. He's not doing it. And the more you think about it, they had a pretty decent answer to that during the playoffs last year when Jimmy Butler said, I mean, give me the ball. I'll be the point guard. I'll shoot it. You go over to the side. And that had a chance to work if Jimmy Butler wasn't his own different kind of a pain in the neck in the locker room, and they had to make a decision which one of those to get rid of. So they chose Butler. Okay, Richardson turned out to be a little better than I thought he would be. But yeah, they went with Simmons. He's going to be your point guard. And if you go to the playoffs and your point guard won't shoot it and won't score in the fourth quarter and can't make a foul shot, I mean, spoiler alert, you're going to lose.
Jack, I've been around you many years, and I know that you take sides on things. I didn't know you were this anti-Ben Simmons, and you're just convinced they cannot win with him, and you're done with this? I mean, what is the next step in your mind?
Oh, No, I
don't know. You kind of
things. I like the way he can defensive rebound. He can push. He can get off the court. His entry passes are legendary. How quickly he sees the open man. He can get to the rim on a January, on a Tuesday night in January against the Nets. He can score. if he's not shooting from three-pointer, he can score. You can win with it. Like I just said a minute ago, I thought they had the answer with Butler as your point guard and Simmons off the ball a little bit, playing closer to the rim. That was the answer. I'm not so down with the guy that I was down on Markelle Fultz. And I still am. That guy can't play basketball. But Ben Simmons sure knows how to play that game. He just is a little bit too much with his refusal to shoot.
So just to clarify real quick, earlier I thought you said that they can't win with him. You mean currently constructed maybe that they...
Playoffs.
Okay.
You cannot win in the playoffs if you have a point guard who can't score in the fourth quarter, won't take an outside shot, and can't make a free throw.
Got you.
You cannot win in the playoffs that way. Now, who does that describe? You figure it out.
I think we got it. Speaking now with Jack McCaffrey of the Delco Times. As for the rest of the team, Tobias Harris certainly came on stronger in this last game that he played 34 points. It was great to see that from him. The other part of this, though, is Al Horford has been struggling a lot since he has come here. Where is his comfort zone, you think, in this offense? And will he find it while he's here with the Sixers?
It's going to be difficult because they keep switching his positions. Of course, that's what the value of hiring him was. It was his versatility, and he can play various positions. The question is comfort level. He's obviously, to me, more comfortable playing in the paint, and he's been pretty comfortable with that while Joel's been out. Clearly, when Joel comes back, Al Horford's got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Elsewhere on the court. So his comfort level could be disrupted again, but he's more comfortable in the paint, and you see that coming. He's a professional. He's a good guy to have around the team. My guess is he'll figure it out. He is the kind of guy that figures it out in the playoffs and finds a way to win.
I want to switch gears with you here, Jack, and talk a little bit about this Astros cheating scandal. And I know you've been in the game a long time, man.
Yeah.
This seems to be a next level type of cheating.
It's certainly, and it's one of the reasons why I'm a Hall of Fame voter, as some people. I'd never vote for Sammy Sosa because he manipulated the equipment, and that's the problem. That's the problem you have here. Stealing signs has been in baseball forever. You're using additional equipment, video or whatever, to do it. It was a horrible, horrible scandal, and at least one of the two top scandals of the week, in my opinion, behind a booster, a former booster player, handing out what appeared to be money to college players on the field for winning a game. To me, the best thing that happened to LSU was this Astros scandal. That LSU scandal was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible, blatant disregard for the rules.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
I don't know. I was more offended at the fact that Odell Beckham slapped a cop's ass than I was at him handing out money. And I'm certainly more upset over the Astros thing. The Odell Beckham thing with cash, I laughed at. I have to be honest.
Odell's a booster.
Well, you're handing money to players right then and there.
If you're a former pro player, if you're a pro player who came out of that program, yeah, you're considered a booster.
Okay.
And you're handing money like there's no secrecy about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like out of the open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In those players' defense, they kind of were caught off guard. It's like, I guess they could give it back to them, but they're probably going to have to.
If you're a senior, hey, more power to you.
If you're standing there and somebody's throwing, give how you're supposed to react.
Yeah. Exactly. And Jack, finally, the name we haven't really brought up much this morning, the latest name to surface for the offensive coordinator position of the Philadelphia Eagles. Apparently now they're looking at James Urban, who is an assistant coach on the Ravens staff. He worked with Andy Reid here for a number of years in Philadelphia. What would you think of that name coming here to join up with the Eagles?
Well, the last Andy Reid assistant was Doug Peterson. He did a pretty good job, so why not?
Would you consider Deuce Daly, or do you think that ship sailed?
That ship's clearly sailed. What I don't agree with is firing a guy and then hiring the guy who was below. In other words, they fired the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to fire the offensive coordinator and then promote the guy who worked for the offensive coordinator. I never approved of firing the head coach and hiring the assistant.
Understood.
That'll be up to the Eagles, but I as a matter of policy, if I'm firing the coordinator, then everybody who's on that offensive coaching staff kind of is in that same boat, in my opinion.
Gotcha. Jack McCaffrey, Delco Times. Always great catching up with you, man. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.